All right, let's get started here. Well, thank you guys for coming. Let me just pray for us as we start. Dear Lord, we just come before you with an open heart, Lord. Broken heart, Lord, but we ask that you fill us, Lord, with your spirit, Lord, comfort us. Lord, help us to hear what you want to say to us, because we're listening. We want to hear what you have to say to us, Lord. And we want to hear what our brothers and sisters here have to say, Lord. And so give us that openness, that sensitivity, understanding, Lord. And we just thank you for this class and the people who are here. Would you bless us, Lord, as you always do? And we thank you for this time. We pray all these things in your name. Well, I thought for today, before we go on the lesson, I do want to leave open the time to share in terms of things that you've been praying about, wrestling over the last few days, you know, with the tragic events. And I just want to have this kind of open space and just to share. And so if, you know, even online, like if you want to unmute yourself and just what you've been thinking about, praying about. I think Pastor Alex last night was just encouraging us to be real and be open. And I hope this, even though this is Sunday school, like I'm not here, I don't think anyone else is here to give answers, you know, particularly today. And so we're just going to share. And depending on what you guys share, and you know, it could take 20 minutes, it could take the whole time. I'm not in a hurry to start this lesson. So I just want to see where you guys are at and what you guys been wrestling with, dealing with. So I'm just gonna open it up and just ask you guys. Hakim, Hakim, Lily.
Good morning.
So I just ask everyone just to share about the last few days, what they've been wrestling with, praying about. You know, and it's okay if it's a struggle, like if you're angry about with God and frustrated or without answers, that's okay to share. Who wants to start?
I guess the biggest thing I've been wrestling with this whole thing is a question. I guess the one big question is why. You know, we never know why God allows things to happen. We never know. Sometimes good things, sometimes bad things. And there's a reason for everything. He's in control of all of our lives. But why these things happen? You know, there's a big why. Why all week I've been asking about this myself, why these things happen.
Thank you for sharing, sir.
Well, for me, a lot of emotions come to mind. Of course, sadness, shock, question why, you know, for to such a nice young man. So yeah. But then I was thinking as a parent, I would be broken, and I would probably be crying all day. So I was wondering, and I was projecting this onto Michael and Maple. But you know what? From yesterday, they were there. and they were singing to the music, and I saw Maple's fingers kind of tapping the top of the pew as with the lyrics, with the rhythm. And that to me, it was like, she's living for God. She's not consumed. Of course we are consumed at times, but she's not consumed by the grief. Her focus is still on God. And for them to be present there last night, it gave me, it felt like God was shining through them. They were not just exhibiting Christ-like behavior. They were, it was coming out of, you know, it was radiating out of them. And what Michael said at the end, he did not dwell on the goodness of, oh, what a good boy and blessed life Milton had, and what he was a blessing for the church. He moved it forward. He moved Milton's loss forward. An example, like finding a drummer for the music team. And motivating the youth to stay focused on God if we wanted to see Milton again. And that, to me, it moves all this sadness away from our internal struggle outward. And I think what Michael did was so great in moving all the sadness we have inside and turning it toward God and turning it toward, especially he commented on the young people, because for us, we experience loss throughout the years, but for them, this might be the first time for someone, for the younger generation. So I just want to say it was a blessing last night. Even though, Pastor Alex, you said you had no idea how to go about, it didn't need extensive planning. It needed the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was there last night.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. Anyone here in this room?
I'll share. I think, yeah, it's been a lot of reflecting on my part, you know, the many events that's been happening, even, you know, since Pastor Alex's, you know, but the two gatherings that we had as a body, I feel, to me, I really see that we desire to grow through these events as a body, and that brings a lot of comfort to me, because I see that these events are happening, and I can't, you know, I think just like everyone else, I can't help but ask why, right? And I'm somebody who always seeks to have a perspective, and if I don't have a perspective, I feel like imbalanced, you know. But I think I'm learning that I may not have the whole picture, right? But I'm beginning to see a little bit of perspective, and that God is not just, you know, causing these things to happen to one person or one family, but that is for all of us to walk through together and to grow through it together. And for that, I'm filled with hope, because I know He wants to work in us, you know, together. And I was even just going through yesterday, I felt like our hearts were so close to each other in a way that maybe our hard for never, I suppose, in the past, like prior to this, you know, I feel like these two subsequent evenings have just drawn our church closer together. I think we need that. And I think we crave that, but maybe we don't know how to get there. Sometimes it takes tragic or sad things to bring us there on our knees together. And I don't know what the Lord has in store, but and I've just been praying that that we, I think some of these events may be seen as like an attack or a trial, you know, maybe even something that Satan is using to like destabilize the church, you know. But I'm just praying that instead of that, we'll grow stronger. And I think we are, so I pray God for that. There's a lot.
Thank you for sharing. Hey, well, I'm going to acknowledge that you're here with us, and I didn't expect you to be here, but we're all happy to see you. You don't have to share anything, you know.
I talked to Dax. I'm not the type that I can't speak in my emotion.
No, we can understand.
But it's for my daily emotion. It happens to be on the book of Job. So anything God has a way that And Job is a good character for us to learn from on the law.
Now, I want to just say, you know, when a lot of us heard the news through the email, and just talking with a few of you, like, I don't know how many people kind of replayed the last time you were with Milton. I think that was common. And, you know, acknowledge that, you know, Milton was part of this class. He was sitting, you know, right here last week. Participating and, you know, really understanding all that we're talking about. Does anyone else want to share?
I think, you know, I'll share personally without like preaching or anything, but I was sharing with Bex because she wasn't understanding what was happening when we were on this group text, and then, you know, I picked up Milton's belongings. I think I showed up last night, and Michael had texted, okay, hey, we're ready, stop on by. You know, you're bringing his belongings by. And I said, hey, we can just stop by real quick. And I'm like, we were on a tight schedule, but I just was avoiding that. I didn't know what was happening. And I just thought, no, it's okay. Let's just not reply to Michael. And then, so that whole day on Friday, I didn't bring it over. And then on Saturday, they wanted to come by and just get some fresh air. And so we just spent some time together And I told them, I started to realize something that's happening is I didn't want to let go of that bag. I didn't even know that it's happening inside. And I didn't want to let go. Even being here is a little bit, you know, weird because he's right there. And, we all, you know, huggers go to huggers, right? And we're huggers, and I hug him, he hugs me all the time. And he's always like, man, I love your cologne, Pastor. I'm like, I always smell his cologne, and it's like, it's wasting over. And so it's something that it is, it has these moments, pain has these moments, grief has its moments for me that is very unexplained. You can't explain what happens. And yet I really believe that God keeps telling me, allow me to bring that to you whenever it's time. And then when I think about all of God's word, there's so much that God's word talks about pain and suffering. And on the other side of that is this comfort from God, the security in God. Why God wants us to run to him so often. We see it in the Psalms. The Psalms are filled with so much pain. And yet it's the picture of a person who always keeps running back to God. Always keeps running back to God. Always keeps running back to God. And then the psalmist discovers that God is totally dependable, and that God is that's why we use these phrases so often, because the psalmist identified that he's the refuge. His wing is strong enough to cover us and safe enough. And he doesn't let us go. So I feel that this is something that I'm learning even more, that sin has left us in a world of pain and suffering. And yet God allows that somehow so that we can experience him on this side, See, Milton's not experiencing that anymore. He has something different. But on this side, I'm even beginning to experience more. You know, last week when people pray for me, I don't feel that pain of myself. But last night and the last 3 days, I've been having a lot of moments of grief. And I think it's a reminder that there is something on this side with grief and mourning that the Lord uses to allow us to experience him. So I think if I could share encouragement, is that don't try to be strong. Like, it's very cultural, it's very personality. I think we all, the human flesh wants to be strong. I don't think we need to. I think that's the opposite of God's design. I think it's a complete opposite of God's design. I'm kind of all over the place. It's just hitting me more than I expected, you know, to. And even there are moments when Mabel and Michael are at our house and we're just talking, and all of a sudden we're talking about something. Michael is so practical. Michael will and I'm like, stop for a moment. Because he says, I'm far on the grief stage. I'm like, you can come back. The grief stage is not linear. You can go back and forth and all over the place. And I said, there's a few moments where Mabel was like, he's so like you. You guys take big risks. You guys are a little bit reckless. You guys are very passionate about stuff. And I think just talking about that was helpful, but it brought so much tears to our eyes. And then we needed that box of tissues, you know? Like, I think we need them. And we need this. Thank you, Arthur, for thinking about this as a class so that we don't rush to just, rush to just move on with life, you know? So thank you.
Anyone else like to share?
I'll be a mess. So I was talking to Kay last night, and she, you know, Kay's kind of newer to our church, right? And you know, I was talking to her outside, and you know, she was talking about the youth group, you know, and I just realized at that point talking to her that. Thank you. Yeah, having Milton pass is like having one of my kids like pass. You know, all of these like you know, all of the teenagers, and just seeing them grow up, you know, it's like having, you know, one of my kids, you know, pass. And of course he's not my kid, but symbolically, you know, over the years seeing him grow up in like children's worship and youth group, you know, seeing him go from this little mischievous, crazy little kid to, you know, to seeing him mature and to seeing him grow up and pursue the Lord, you know, it was always that being like a proud mom, yeah. You know, and yeah, there's a big loss. Yeah, I think, in my heart. So, yeah. I think this for us, like, you're so used to seeing him around, right? And so you don't think about the loss until it happens. It's like, wow, that is such a big loss to me. It's like, what is that? You know? I almost sometimes felt like, oh, I shouldn't be so sad. It's not even my kid, but in a symbolic sort of figurative way, he was, you know, one of my kids that I saw grow up. So there's a definite loss, a definite, difficulty, I think, for me. Anyone else?
So this whole week, trying to process it just like everyone else, and I. That's obviously something that's stronger in the process of teaching him and directing him and, you know, spiritual wisdom to him. But even this period of time, the past 2 years, I've been in Sunday school, I feel the same way. It's a loss. I process things differently, you know, and everyone does. But I'm at the point where, wow, when I spoke with Pastor Alex and he told me the news, I didn't know how to even apply it. Because my heart is still at loss. It should be, because life is valuable. And God is walking with us, but But God is also the basically what God said Alex the last time. God is allowing us to sit in that grief. And I'm allowing myself to sit in that grief a little bit. I can't really work. I can't really process things. Even last night, I tried to go to sleep. I didn't sleep well at all because I'm replaying some of just different things in my mind. And you know, one connection that I made is, I don't know if you guys, when we started the Sermon on the Mount, I was teaching, I think, the first lesson. I don't know if you guys remember what Milton asked. He asked me a question. And I was saying, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will seek the kingdom of God. That's what he said. And I said, you know, you gotta be humble. You know, once you're humble before God, you will see the kingdom. And ask, well, you have to go humble yourself. You have to go seek the poor, being poor. I said, you don't have to seek it at all. It just, it'll happen. But when it happens, allow yourself to kind of sink into that, because you'll find God very near at that time. And I feel that that's what we don't have to seek it, it just happens. But at this point, we are all poor in spirit because we're low. And because of the low, God is near to the broken heart. So we're near because of this, we're near to God. Milton is the nearest. He's the radiant. He's radiant because he's next to the radiant one. So somehow we're connected in essence. We're near to God. God is near to us.
For sure. Nancy, would you like to share? You don't have to.
I think Beck's same sentiment is, watch this little. Yeah, we can't. No, I mean, we watched this little boy grow up, and I just. It's just that spirit in his eye just seems so much brighter. Definitely is a hard one. Of course, we see the potential of this young man. He's grown. I don't know how many people bring there. He was one of mine. So I was thinking about, you know, how we have these images, right? And there's so many images that keep coming into my mind. And that's it brings happiness and also sadness at the same time, because you remember the little boy that used to run around. He did bring such a blessing to this church. Same thing. I mean, that's really hit the nail on the head when I finished. She said, you know, you feel like he is one of your son, or he is a brother to someone, he is a son to someone, and this church's fingerprints are all over this church. Yeah, we're blessed by that. You know, just yesterday, we're watching, looking at the cajon, and you know, you expect him to show up. That was especially difficult. And, you know, people, Michael's words of encouragement to the church, to the body. I mean, it's, I don't know how I would have said those words. I can feel those words, but to get that out is such an encouragement to all that were there yesterday of how to move forward. I really appreciate that. I think Milton growing up in the church and with Mabel and Michael, you know, how you came to Christ and knowing Christ early on, I think is if anything, that is comfort mm-hmm. to know that he is with Christ today.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I realize that this form is not always the best for some people to process. Mm-hmm. And so I encourage all of us to share with each other. Like I think Pastor Alex said it too, that the breakage may come at different points, and grief can be processed in so many different ways, and it looks so different for each person, right? If someone doesn't express emotion, doesn't mean that they're not hurting inside. And so I encourage you to ask each other, you know, in the coming weeks, months, because sometimes it takes months to process grief. And so to ask each other, like, hey, let's talk about it. Do you have any thoughts about Milton and his passing? And, you know, because it might not be, it's hard sharing in a group like this, but if there's one or two people that you feel comfortable sharing with, like, and sometimes a little prompting by yourself helps too. So I encourage you to do that. So I'll pray for us. We'll be meeting the college young adult. We'll be meeting this afternoon too, and we'll be sharing and processing together too. So pray for us. Does someone want to pray for us for this kind of sharing right now? Well, let me pray then. Dear Jesus, we just, again, come before you. I thank you for the sharing, Lord. I thank you that you use other brothers and sisters to just speak what is on our heart, things that we cannot even express, Lord. We know that your spirit groans within us, Lord, things that we can't even get out, or we don't even know what to say, Lord, but you express that through other brothers and sisters, Lord. And so I thank you for that. I thank you that you give words to the grief, Lord. And I pray that we continue to process and to continue to dwell and Lord, and reflect and honor and just remember all the good things our brother stood for, Lord, and all the good things that he blessed our church family with, Lord. And Lord, we pray as we reflect that you would move us to also want to do those same things, Lord, to want to continue to grow and to do and to just live out the life that you have called each of us to live, Lord. And so I thank you for this time. I pray that it doesn't stop, Lord, and it continues. We just leave all these things in your just loving, gentle arms, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We pray all these things in your name. Well, thank you, guys. I know it's kind of awkward to transition, but I do want, and, you know, I was talking with Pastor Alex and Frank, and we were kind of thinking about what we're going to do today in light of everything. And, You know, so we said, if it comes to it, we will start the lesson, but there's no time to finish. So next week we'll continue, okay? And so next for the homework, I know a lot of you were diligent, and I had about 12 of you send me the email. I know some people have brought it too. But if you didn't finish, I can totally understand. I'm going to extend that to next week.
She's a gracious teacher.
Yeah.
How about the ones who turn it in? Yeah.
You have big treats for us, right?
Yeah. Okay, I'll think about that. So next week, I think we'll also share about our unreached people groups in small groups, where we'll also kind of just display it here. And I think we'll just combine the prayer for these unreached people groups, because next lesson will be, today would be on Learn Part 2. Remember the six ways, learn. The second part, the next part would be pray. And I think we just combine that into one. And we'll just pray for our unreached people groups. Okay, so again, email that to me, bring a hard copy. If you need me to print it in color, just give it to me. Either if you're going to bring one, just still email me so I can have it on file and I can display it on for the people online. So I have a number of them here. I don't need to see them, but well, I'll have it on my computer and I will share it next week. Okay, so we'll do that. Okay. So let's review, okay? So I want us to review something, share, let's be together on this. Share one thing that you've learned so far during the last month that we've had this series. One thing or one theme or one idea or one fact even, or even one emotion that you've experienced. Just one thing, it doesn't have to be long. Just one idea, one thought, one feeling.
Reading the various things and doing the research, really come to the conclusion there's a huge number worldwide of unreached people all over the world from everywhere. You know, it's amazing that there's so many unreached people. I didn't realize the scope of it. You know, there's the Asia or Africa or Central America or wherever, half China, wherever it happens to be. It's just so many unreached people. Millions of people are unreached. I didn't realize there was so many unreached people. It's very impressive, very kind of shocking, to tell you the truth.
Right, we're doing the thing. So I was doing with my kid, and we click on one country, yeah. That whole list comes up, right? You think like one country maybe just has a few, but it's like 10, hundreds, some countries have thousands of unreached people.
I guess for emotion kind of thing there, I think it hit me when I was talking with you about it, you know, yesterday. The reason why we could actually even transition from talking about our brother Milton to this, right? It struck me because two things of Milton's life. He enjoyed learning to worship his God, mm-hmm. right? And worship is not just music, right? It's just this life of worship that he enjoyed more and more of God. And he always would come to me, not to bring it back to that first topic, but he would always come to me and ask questions. How do I know God more? How do I live for God? How do I use my skills for God? He's always wanting to just experience God more. He came to me like, not just like a pastor, just like a life coach of like, how do I live for God? So he enjoyed that. Second is to die and to even have his mother say that she can celebrate. Mm-hmm. Not only his life of worship of God, but that now he is with God and that we will see him face to face. This whole life that God has allowed us to have, to know him, is almost hard to understand for most of the world who don't have Christ. And so when you shared with the class that an unreached people group is a people, not just they just don't have not heard about Jesus, it's there are so many obstacles for them to even have the gospel. And all of these people are dying in darkness and they don't have a chance to worship God and to enjoy this side of eternity. That my emotion is, it's gut-wrenching. It hits really deep for me. I always expected to go to prison to like share the gospel somehow. Like it's like on my bucket list. Like I gotta be somewhere where I'm sharing the gospel and I'm thrown in prison.
To get thrown in prison or to go to jail?
Yeah, to
be thrown in prison. You don't have volunteer ways to get it.
I know. It's just like this, like, because I want to go full throttle, you know, and just
want to go.
And it's just like, because it strikes so deep of a chord in me. That their life has to be lived so empty. And when their empty life is over, there's nothing but separation from God. That kills me. So that's an emotional response for me, you know, especially even in light of like Milton, you know. It's like a crazy transition to why this topic is so important. Mm-hmm. You know, it's emotional.
Yeah, I'm pretty shocked to learn about the unreached people groups in its number, but more so that obstacle. Mm-hmm. And I started asking in the past 2 weeks, why? Mm-hmm. There's a reason why they're unreached. It's not because lack of cell phones or jet planes or motor vehicle. We have so much more.
Yes.
And when I say this, I feel guilty because I don't want to. Because, and as I actually, you know, spent some time on Joshua
Project.net,
right? And it leads me into other articles. And one of the articles simply said that, let me jump Piper because I think he's in this whole thing, and he says, well, it's very simple why you don't want to go.
Mm.
You don't want to die.
Mm.
Because those are dangerous places.
Mm.
You will be killed.
Mm.
And that puts Paul's letter in so much more perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We read about his letters because he's the one who went to the unreached people.
Mm-hmm.
He was shipwrecked, he was beaten. Who wants to do what Paul does?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm speaking this to myself too, not because we're sitting right here, but that's why they're unreached. It's so tough because we don't want to go there. Why wouldn't we want to put ourselves in harm's way? Right? So I'm actually struggling with that tension, why they're unreached. I don't know, that may be emotional too, but I don't know what to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think for me, like not to be a downer, you know, but I guess I was kind of discouraged, you know. I like wanted to look up the most persecuted, the highest like rank persecuted persecution rank, right? Yeah. I know, but I found number two because I was like looking at the Afghan projects, right? And I was like the number of workers needed for just this group of people is like 226. I was like, oh my gosh, like how are we ever going to get there? Like I don't know the language, and you know, it's like I don't know. I guess for me, it was like, gosh, it's like such a big mountain to climb. Like how are we ever going to get there? You know. And so I guess for me, I was like, gosh, that's like so discouraging. Like, it's not even like realistic or like it's not attainable. Like, you know, for me to make an impact on this group of people, why don't I even speak the language? So I'd have like, you know, whatever, 10 years, let's say, right? If I wanted to take up the language, you know, to even like begin to make an impact. I'm like, wow, gosh, like, God, that's so like, in a way, like discouraging. Like, it seems so far-fetched, so far to travel. And yet there are like 200 plus workers needed just to reach this group of people.
See, but on the other side, my reaction to that is like, it's, they only need 226. Like,
if we need 224. Yeah, because we have to learn the language first. Yeah. But, to be the reality of it, versus the
ideal. But then it's such a small number at the same time, right? Not to be debated, actually.
Don't debate me.
It's funny how to see husband and wife have looked at something completely differently.
I'm like,
oh, the same number.
I don't know if you guys feel that. Like, 226, that's an easy number to hit. All you need is 226 people who are willing.
If our whole church went.
If our whole church went, boom, that's it.
Not to get into the whole debate.
Yeah.
I see that number. Yeah, it's only 226, but I said, why?
Yeah.
It's only 260, right. But guess what?
No, yeah.
Nobody's taking it.
Yeah, right.
And then I saw some unreached people group, they only need two.
Yeah.
Figure someone
right.
Will check that list off.
Check
yeah.
Two. Let's go. Maybe
yeah,
you're
right.
Tomorrow. Let's go.
I got five tomorrow.
We asked Reg first. But in some of them, it's just one. There's a reason why that one is still one.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to go. Out of how many millions of people on earth? Not
how
one.
Many Christians?
How many Christians? Okay, yeah, not one. So that's where my mind goes. There's a reason why it's such a small number, yet unattainable at the same time. Yeah. It's interesting.
That is.
Yeah.
That kind of leads us into the question. So we have this kind of like, I see kind of what you did, right? Like it was like understanding both. In a way, try to like, you know, negotiate. But
we have issues, obviously.
But I really see what you're saying. At your earlier comment about like there's a sense of guilt, and rightly so, right? We should all feel a sense of responsibility. But the problem is like, what do we do about it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I think that, you know, even though we're on the section of learning, okay, that's one of the six ways, right? Okay, so I want to transition from learning to more doing, okay? So let me ask you this, okay, this question I had. It's not a hard question, but is it possible to study scripture and miss the heart of God? Okay. Susan?
Oh, I think she just dialed in.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay. Okay. Everyone says yes. Let's look at John chapter 5, verse 34 to 40. Whoever has it first, John chapter 5, verse 39 and 40. They want to read it to them. Who has it? Chapter 5, 39 to 40.
You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life.
Now, just a little context. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, right? So he's saying to them, you study these things diligently, yet you pretty much miss everything that is the scriptures say about me, Jesus, right? And refuse to come to me to have life. Okay? And so why do you think the Pharisees and teachers of the law, why did they miss the heart of God? They were incredibly learned. They knew everything about the scripture. Why did they miss the heart of God? It might not be in these verses, but just kind of what you know.
I mean, yeah, that's great. I think that's a great question.
Is an answer to that? I'm just kidding.
I was just sharing with the reps, like, I don't like to talk. I don't want to talk. But I just thought that was a great question. So I have thoughts to that. I think because I thought about that question for many, many years. But when I come to that, I think it's because the Pharisees have their own understanding and their own ambition about God. They have their own idea about, though they study it because they love it, and they love God too. They want to be close to God, so all of that is there. But they fell into the trap too, where they have their own way of wanting to be near God. They have their own, they make God into their own image. Mm-hmm. So when God actually shows up, like, you're not God.
They don't recognize him.
Yeah. No. Right? Yeah. Because they've already made an image of their God, who is the mighty warrior king coming in. Again, my image is Gandalf coming through me. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone's fighting and Gandalf goes, "You shall not." I don't know. That's my image. But yeah, no. But that was not Jesus. Jesus was riding in on a donkey. And that image, and there's no way. You are God. So yeah.
So great. I want us to continue to think about that. There's so many different reasons, but also bring it to us. Like, why do we continue to learn? Like, we search in it, but sometimes we miss the heart of God. And sometimes he asks us to, scripture clearly says, do these things, yet we don't do it, you know? And so I'm transitioning from learning now to actually doing. Okay, so beyond knowledge into practice. Okay, beyond learning but to doing, and beyond the low risk. Like, even this homework, it requires some work, right? But I'll say pretty low risk, right? No one's going to persecute you for making this, or maybe unless it's your parents who beat you down, like, why didn't you do this? But other than that, it's pretty low risk. But I'm going to increasingly ask you to take on more risk. Because it's necessary, like you pointed out, that these places that we're talking about, it requires risk, right? I'm not telling you have to go next week to this country or anything like that, but I'm just saying, as we progress in the class, we will look at different ways to act it out, okay? And so I know we're coming to a close. I want to introduce the idea of becoming a world Christian, okay? There's a concept out there that says, world Christian. Okay, so it's not worldly Christian, it's world Christian. Okay, and so what is a world Christian? It is a people who live life aimed at Christ's global purpose. The world Christian says, I'll do whatever it takes to be faithful to Christ and to live strategically for his purpose in the world. Okay, so everything this person does is geared toward Christ's purpose in the world. And we, even the last few weeks, we've been looking at different passages. What is God's purpose in the world, right? For us to scatter, for us to make his name known. We'll talk about that. What was Israel's purpose, right? To to be a light to the surrounding nations, right? And so if you're a world Christian, your life is focused on that, okay? And I'll share, Jacqueline and Jesse aren't here, but talking with them, I feel like they are world Christians, mm-hmm. right? They, I don't know how much you know, but, you know, Jesse, you know, before their baby, he used to go down to Mexico every other weekend, you know, mm-hmm. to do missions. Jacqueline involved in reaching Afghan refugees. Mm-hmm. And so even though they're busy now with kids, they're still, their life, you can tell when you talk to them, it's geared toward that. They still want to help. They said, what I hear from them is that every time I talk to them, it's like, whatever is needed, mm-hmm. whatever it takes, like, I want to help. I want to be involved. Okay, so that in my mind is an example of a world Christian, okay? And we won't get into, we'll continue it next time. I will look at specific ways. We want to finish up learn before we go to next week to pray. But learning, there's so many different ways, and I'll show you a list of all the things that you will do. Actually, what I'll do, I think I will email all of you that list so you can look at it this week, okay? And next week, I don't expect you have done anything on that list, but at least have some idea, looked at it, and then so that is actually your homework to look at that list and then pick out one or two things, maybe just one thing that you want to attempt, okay? And we'll talk about it in this group, okay? So I'll email that. The last part is that in order to become a world Christian, you have to develop habits, right? Just like, you know, when it's a habit for some people to, that's all they do. They plan their vacation, they do their service, their extra time, they teach their kids that. It's just that it's a habit, okay? But if for anything to become a habit, if it's not already a habit, you have to work at it, right? You have to do what's called discipline, right? You have to discipline yourself. So let's say you're exercising, right? Let's say you normally don't exercise, but you have a goal that you want to exercise, you want to lose weight or whatnot, eat better, okay? And so initially, you go to the gym or you go running, and it's discipline, right? Because you're not used to it, right? So you have to attempt these things, which are out of your comfort zone. You have to discipline, you have to do it consistently, and then sooner or later, you begin to enjoy it, okay? And then you begin to enjoy it. Alex was mentioning he was running, right? Like, initially, it's probably not the easiest thing to do, right? But the more and more you do it, you exercise and it becomes a joy and it becomes a part of your life. Like, this is what I do. Like, it's easy for me to do this, go and run a few laps or whatnot. And so this is the same thing to become a world Christian, is that you have to develop the habits, but until it becomes a habit, you have to discipline yourself for these things. So I will send out that list, okay? For those of you who haven't finished this homework, please send it to me, and we'll talk about it next time. We didn't get to it, but one of the learn things is to learn by reading books, right? Some of you here, I know that you love to read books, okay? So I didn't have time this morning to set it up, but I brought a box full of books on missions, on different things. I'll set it up in between service, and I'll leave it up even after service. You can take a look. And if I'm around, come grab me, because sometimes the books look interesting. Like, it might be better to talk to me about, like, what are you interested in, because of different topics. Talk to me about it. And if you are the person that you like to learn by reading books, I can recommend the book to you rather than just grabbing it, because it may not fit to where what you're looking for. So that's available all day, and I'll set that up. Okay, I think we will end right there. Okay, I'll set it up in the auditorium, just behind this wall right here. So we'll end. Anyone want to pray for us to close?
I'll pray. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you for this morning. Thank you for your blessings, and thank you for gathering us and having this time to express our grief and hear each other out too, Lord. It helps. It really helps in these small ways. And help us to move forward with Milton's love of Christ in our hearts. We know he would be really enjoying to know about the unreached people. Help this learning continue in us. Help this love continue in us, Lord. And we ask for your blessing for today's Sunday service. Bless the pastor and the message, and continue to be with us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.